Today, I want to reintroduce you to an old friend who has been a little bit misunderstood over time. Who's that old friend? Well, as you may be aware, the series that we're in right now is looking at the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, a helper, a guider, God himself. Over the next few weeks, we're going to explore who is the Holy Spirit. You see, it seems to me that across the church, and I mean wider church by that, as well as our own local church, the Holy Spirit has been completely left out and misunderstood. And it's incredibly sad that that's happened. So I'm going to bust five misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit, five myths, if you will. And I'm going to do that by reading parts of the Bible and sharing with you some of my own personal experience of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to bust five myths today. So strap yourself in, because we're going to be going at quite a pace. But let's start with myth number one. The Holy Spirit isn't needed because we have the Bible. I hear that sometimes. Indeed, I've heard that here in our own church. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We can simply read the Bible and know what God would have us to do. But of course, the problem is that is self-defeating. Because what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit itself? From John 14, we read, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," this is Jesus speaking, "will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." You see, it's not one or the other. It's not the Bible or the Holy Spirit. Indeed, particularly as Anglicans, as Christians who come from the Anglican theology, that is, the way that we live our lives as Christians, it most definitely isn't that way for us. You see, our theology is made up of three areas, of tradition of Christians across the ages who have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's also made up of the Bible, of Scripture, which itself is God-breathed by the Holy Spirit. Good, it says in the Bible, for teaching and rebuking. God-breathed by the Holy Spirit. And finally, it is made up of reason, the God-given ability to use our minds and be inspired by the Holy Spirit. You see, as Anglicans, we have Scripture, we have Christian tradition, and we have reason, all inspired by the Holy Spirit. Good Anglicans are Holy Spirit people. We don't simply rely on one part of who God is. Busted. Myth number one out of the way. But then move on to myth number two, which is the Holy Spirit is not God, and somehow it's less than the Father or the Son. A complete myth. To say that one part of the Trinity is less than the other is a very, very old heresy. Just as the Father and Jesus are one, so is the Spirit one with the Father and Jesus. The Trinity perhaps is not always easy to understand. But what we do say regularly in our services, in our communion services as Anglicans, is that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Son, is equal to the Father. Indeed, the Athanasian Creed, which is one of the earliest statements of faith from around the year 400, says this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the person, nor divide in the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. But the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, you see, are equal. And so Jesus says, doesn't he? He says that we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Good Anglicans are Spirit-led and know that actually the Trinity are all equal. Busted, myth number two, which means myth number three, so that somehow the Holy Spirit is a bit weird and a scary force, a bit like the Force in Star Wars. Now, I remember one vicar I know knew referring to the Holy Spirit as being similar to the Force. You know, use the Force, Luke. As though we can use the Holy Spirit in the same way that Luke Skywalker used the Force in Star Wars. And indeed, me, myself, I've been equally guilty of using an analogy of the Force as the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't work, because actually the Holy Spirit is personal, is not some way out there unknown spirit. And equally, of course, we have been guilty in our tradition of referring to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. You see, the Greek word spirit, pneuma, is translated more personally. But actually, when we say things like the Holy Ghost, we tend to think in our English minds of some disembodied spirit out there floating around in a white bedsheet. But that is as far from the truth of who the Spirit is as it's possible to get. Whenever you see Jesus referring to the Spirit, he talks about friend, counselor, comforter, helper, truth. We even read in our gospel, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and with you and will be in you. God's Spirit is within you and with you, and you can recognize him. You see, we can all recognize him because Jesus said that we would recognize his voice. My sheep recognize my voice, he says. And it is my experience that actually, as we move along and we spend time with the Spirit, we begin to recognize him. It's my experience that actually, as I listen to the Spirit, I recognize him versus my own desires. Busted myth number 3. Which gives us myth number 4. The Holy Spirit makes people do strange and odd things that they don't want to do. People are forced to fall down, make strange sounds, shake uncontrollably, babble words. These are all objections to seeking the Spirit that I have heard from people over the time. And we see that there is nothing new in misunderstanding who the Spirit is and the way he acts. We see that in our reading from Acts, don't we? And then they said, aren't these people drunk? You know, the apostles come out full of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and the locals say, aren't these guys drunk? And then we hear, no, actually, they're not drunk. It's not. It's early in the morning. All this is an expression of the Spirit, the same expression that was prophesied in the years gone by Joel, that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Being confused about who the Spirit is nothing new. It's at least 2,000 years old. Of course, there will be always people who misrepresent who the Spirit is in their misguided eagerness to please God. Whatever field of life you walk in, there are always people who misrepresent it. I don't particularly follow Portsmouth Football Club, but I know that there was a period of time when the fans, the true fans who followed Portsmouth, were overwhelmed by the violence that some people brought to the game. That wasn't a true expression of what football is, in the same way that those who misrepresent the Holy Spirit are not a true expression of who the Holy Spirit is. And there will also be signs of the Spirit which we simply don't understand. We shouldn't be surprised by that. We read it in our reading today. But it is my experience that a friend, a counsellor, a helper does not make you do things that you do not want to do. In the 20 plus years that I have sought to follow Jesus and know the Father and the Son and the Spirit, I can count on these two hands the number of times that I have been so overwhelmed by the Spirit's love that I have laid down. It happens more often to other people because I think Jesus is gentle with us. God is gentle with us and speaks to us in different ways. I will tell you what I do find. More often I find that as I pray, there is a gentle shaking in my body as I feel the love of God flow through me. But what I can say to you is that as I pray that actually there has never been a situation where I have not felt fully in control of it, that I have not felt that I could stop at any time. There has never been a time in my life where the Holy Spirit has done something where I have not wanted him to do it. Indeed, the truth is, often I want the Spirit to continue because there are times like that when I and the Spirit are one. where I feel God's love flow, and I don't ever want it to stop. God's Spirit forces us to do nothing, because He is love. Busted, myth number four, which leads us to our final myth today. And it's perhaps the myth that makes me the most angry. Holy Spirit is reserved for some super Christians only. That perhaps somehow it's only the rector or the super holy people who can receive the Holy Spirit. Let me say to you that that is poppycock. If that is true, then why do we baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit? If that is true, then why did Jesus say, "I tell you this, it is for you, your good, that I go away. Unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." If it's true that not everyone can have the Holy Spirit, then why do we read in Acts 1 that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you? You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Friends, the idea that somehow you are not good enough to receive God's Spirit is the biggest, most destructive lie of all times. The lie that holds back Christians from knowing the Holy Spirit, from truly knowing life and life to the full. And it makes me angry when people are told that the Holy Spirit is only for a limited few. Let me say clearly, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Whether you are 9 or 90, male or female, have been a Christian for 70 years, 7 days, or even 7 minutes, the Holy Spirit is for you. All you have to do is ask. Ask and it will be given to you, we read in Matthew. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Friends, myth number 5 has to be busted. Because the Holy Spirit is for all. Thank you for taking the time and being patient with me as I demystify who God's Holy Spirit is. Busting these 5 untruths about the Holy Spirit, I think, is foundational as we head into this new series. I wanted to lay them out because I think it's great that we've got a vision and a purpose, that we are here to share God's love and friendship with Bedhampton, to serve. But if our identity is not wrapped up in God's Holy Spirit, it's all a waste of time. In fact, if we don't seek the Holy Spirit in all that we do, we may as well pack up and go home. So I plead with you, friends and family, I plead with you, be open and seek God's truth about His Spirit over the next few weeks. Because over the next few weeks, we're going to be hearing about the Holy Spirit, a friend and a guide, how we can determine when we are hearing from Him versus other inputs in our life. We're going to be hearing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how we may hunger for them and use them to glorify God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, how that becomes apparent in our lives as we live out with the Holy Spirit. And finally, and perhaps for me most excitingly of all, we're going to be talking about living and walking with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't suddenly just turn up when we walk into a church building, but actually that He's with us all day, every day, wherever we walk. But for now, as we finish, let me leave with you one little challenge for this week. Don't wait. Don't wait until the end of the series to invite God's Spirit to befriend you, to guide you, to be there with you. This week, invite Him in. You see, that doesn't mean you have to spend hours and hours in prayer. I simply want you to do one thing this week. Include the Holy Spirit in all that you do. And then whenever you're about to do something, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And then ask this one simple question. Spirit, is that you? Are you of Jesus? If you suddenly feel the urge to call someone who you haven't called for a while, ask the question. Spirit, is that of you? Are you of Jesus? Maybe even when something negative happens and frustration rises up in you and you want to speak out something to someone, ask the question, Spirit, is that of you? Are you of Jesus? In all you do and think and ask this week and the weeks ahead, let's ask that question, Spirit, is that of you? Are you of Jesus? Because if we can be truly a people of the Holy Spirit, then actually there will be no stopping what God can do in Bedhampton. If we can be Anglicans who are Christians who are guided by the Holy Spirit, who see the Holy Spirit as equal to the Father, equal to the Son, if we can move forward into our mission here with God, guided by the Holy Spirit, there will be no stopping us. All we've got to do is ask each time, Spirit, is that of you? Are you of Jesus?